Hi. Welcome to this Grandma's Life podcast. I'm your host, Thecia Ellis. Get ready to laugh, learn, and grow with me as we explore growing old in an ever-changing world. Today is July 17, 2023, and it is episode 40, Taking a Short Tour. All right. First thing is farm happenings. We've got this week alone plus 3.9 inches of rain. And I believe we've gotten well over 5 inches for the month. So we're getting some rain. Another storm just blew through. I'm hearing it rain now, but I think the thunder and lightning are over, but I'm not sure. But yep, this is weird. We've been getting so many thunderstorms. I think this is like the third one this week. It's almost like it's March instead of July. Now there's been some heat with it too, though. So we're getting some rain too. I've got piglets still. I did sell two of my piglets the other day, to a really nice couple that we met through Craigslist. I had finally decided to post on Craigslist. Because I had Idaho Pasture Pigs on the register and everything, I was trying to go through Idaho Pasture Pig channels for people who might want some of the stuff. I'm still learning marketing. Whoa, I got a lot to learn. But I did go on Craigslist, and a really nice couple came up and bought two of my piglets, which was a good thing because earlier that day, Tom's uncle Joe called and says, "Hey, you got piglets down the bottom of your driveway, about to get on the road." And that's a little bit of a distance. I've stated all along that they get in and out of the pen, but they're getting a little more adventurous and going further. So I've got another fencing system partially set up, but between the rain and everything else that's going around here, I've not finished it. I'm hoping, I don't think I can do it today, but maybe tomorrow, we'll find out. But I've got a lot going on right now, but I need to figure out some way to keep the piglets in where they belong. Yoda, he's funny. Okay, so all the piglets, including Yoda, and he's the only one I've named besides the mom and dad, or, you know, my sow and my boar. But because he's the one that I got castrated because he just didn't have the right markings. His face was shaped. I mean, the back of his head was shaped differently. His ears were shaped differently, hence the name Yoda. He was the runt, you know, but golly, he's cute. But he is just in his own little world. All the other pigs run in one direction. He just wanders aimlessly another. So, you know, got all the rest of piglets started coming up back up the hill pretty easily when Tom was trying to trying to coax him to go back home. But Yoda was just going to come when he was ready. He crawled up and he got hot inside. He just went and crawled up underneath the tree with really low hanging branches. And poor Tom was having to crawl up underneath there and try to coax him out. He was just going to, and my two dogs are helping to herd him up the hill too, but he just wasn't going to be hurried. That's all there is to it. So he's an interesting little guy, and I have to admit he's got my heart, but you know, I won't lie to, we're raising him to be meat down the road, but I'll deal with that when the time comes. I did lose a duckling, my youngest duckling at my batch there. They might be a month old by now. I don't know. But that last thunderstorm, not the one today, but the previous one to that, I don't know if he had a heart attack or what the deal was. And first I thought, well, if there was one that was going to die, it was maybe the one that I have one that's odd. He acts differently. I can't tell if he's blind or if he just has some sort of weird neurological disorder. I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but he lived. He's still wandering around. You know, when I throw the feed out, he's not afraid to come and run right up to the bowl and eat where the others are hiding in the corner. And so I think he can hear. He can hear the feed coming, but he has a tendency to stand there and kind of do his head around and around and go peep, peep, peep. It's almost like he's doing Marco Polo, but I don't know. Even now he's getting over, I think he's learning whatever it is he's dealing with. He's learning how to deal with it. But, and the reason I think he's blind too, is because when I was feeding him yesterday, I was still in the pen and I decided to try to touch him. And when I touched him, it scared the crap out of him. And so I really don't think he knew I was there. So I don't know, but I did lose another one, a different duckling, but I'm not sure what he died of, unless it was a little heart attack from all the storms. But before the storms hit the other day, we had a heat index of 117. And I believe that the actual temperature was only 97. I don't know only, but you know, when you hear 117, that's hot. But the actual temperature was well below 100. So yeah, I knew that the temperature was in the 90s, but when I went outside that time, I thought, wow, it is hot out here. And I looked it up and that's what it told me the heat index was. So yeah, that I'm glad that one's over for the day too. Today's actually pretty nice because we've got that storm blowing through. Oscar, you know, I've been talking about him off and on for a while. He was my breeding boar. And he did manage to get the job done twice. And, you know, Daisy, her litter didn't make it, but Waddle's, hers did. But apparently, whenever he was breeding one of them, he fell off and hurt his back. And he's never recovered from it. And we called a vet and we did the anti-inflammatory stuff, you know, stuff with the marshmallows with anti-inflammatories and Prilosec or whatever that is, the generic thing. And then I ended up calling a chiropractor and stuff, but I couldn't justify spending more money on him. This is supposed to be a money making venture, not spending a lot of money for chiropractors and stuff. And he got to where his hind legs were working less and less and less, and for the last week he's been in his mud hole, which is fine because in this heat he needed to be where he could stay cool. But I was having to water him with a garden hose so he could get a drink, because he couldn't get on the mud hole to go get a drink of water from the water. And so it was past time. I just didn't want to do it. So Tom and I spent an hour and a half this morning hauling him out of the mud hole and wrestling him up a ramp that we had made onto the back of a trailer. So, and we took him to the processor this morning, and I'm not going to lie, that was a struggle for me. It was the best thing to do. It was the right thing to do, but golly, it hurt. You know, I didn't want to see him ending this way, you know, but I guess he's going to go in our freezer. We're not even sure the meat's going to be any good. He's been in such pain for so long with his back and stuff. And then, of course, being hauled in a trailer across, you know, it's only about 10 miles, but still, you know, getting there, he was probably stressed and he was a boar. So there may be boar taint. I don't know. We'll have to find out. We will find out whenever we start cooking. As a general rule though, and the guy was really nice about it. I mean, I think we're going to try to do some bacon and some pork chops and stuff. But as a general, the rest of it's going to be ground and into sausage. That way I can add spices or whatever else to diminish the flavor or hide the flavor of the boar taint, if that's what the case is. We'll just have to see. So he's done. My heart's broken to lose him like that, but it's done. He's being processed now, but Tom and I got our job done. Boy, I'm talking about being covered with stinky mud. I was so covered with it this morning, and it was seriously wrestling. Pigs are strong suckers, even when they're half crippled, but we got him, got it done. My heart's broken, but it's done. All right. My three things. Number one was to get Oscar to the processor. Number two is trip preparation. And I'll talk to you about that here in a moment, but I am trying to get all the things ready to make it easier for Tom and for Kenzie while I am gone. And so their life is not too hard, because I do a lot of work around here. And then, but Tom's got a full-time job and Kenzie's got a job and she's got softball and, you know, she's 16, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in their lives, and they don't need to try to, I don't know. I think trips on things like this also makes it where you assess, you know, because you're always trying to assess it when somebody else is taking over your chores on a farm. What can you do to make life easier for them? And then so frequently you discover there's something that you can implement for your own farm, you know, because we get into our system and do our own thing and stuff, and actually sometimes can make more work for ourselves. And so leaving town and assessing what you do also can make it easier for you in the long run. And there's been some things I've done, like I was going to hatch another batch of chicks so I can increase my layer birds, and I had to put that off for until I get back, and of course taking Oscar to the process because Tom doesn't the processor because Tom doesn't need to be dealing with a crippled pig. And now hopefully within the next 2 days I can figure out fencing system to keep the piglets in and make his life easier for him. My birds pretty good, you know, they're pretty easy to take care of, but we'll have to see. Kenzie's gonna be taking over my egg business for me while I'm gone. So I'm just doing a lot of preparation for this trip. And number three on my three things is this podcast. And this is round two of it. I recorded one, discovered I needed to make some changes. And now this is round two of this episode. What I'm reading. This one is, oh, let me back up just a little bit. The last book I was doing was going through, and I had said I was going to abandon that book. I got to look, and I didn't need to even abandon it. All the stuff that I had marked in it was all done, and so we can move on from there, and that was pretty cool. So this book that I'm working on now is called Atlantis Found by Clive Cussler. This is a novel. I love my novels. I like Clive Cussler. I love Dean Koontz. I love a lot of different varieties of things. And so this one is this one in particular is Atlantis Found by Clive Cussler, and it was written in, it was published in 1999. So the first part of this book, what he usually does is he goes way back in history for something as a setup for what's going to happen in the in particular part of the story. So this particular book is in 7120 BC, and in an area what is now Hudson Bay, Canada. So the setup for this book is from 7120 BC. Savage storms with brutal winds swirled around the earth, shredding and disintegrating everything that stood on the ground for the next 18 years before the poles stopped wobbling and settled onto the new rotational axis. In time, sea levels stabilized, permitting new shorelines to form as bizarre climate conditions continued to moderate. Changes became permanent. The time sequence between night and day changed as the number of days in a year decreased by two. The Earth's magnetic field was also affected and moved northwest over 100 miles. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of different species of animals and fish became instantly extinct. In the Americas, the one-humped camel, the mammoth, an ice age horse, and the giant sloth all disappeared. Gone also were the saber-toothed tiger, huge birds with 25-foot wingspans, and many other animals that weighed 100 or more pounds, most dying by asphyxiation from the smoke and volcanic gases. Nor did the vegetation on land escape the apocalypse. Plant life, not turned to ashes by the Holocaust, died for lack of sunlight, along with the algae in the seas. In the end, over 85% of all life on Earth would die from floods, fires, storms, avalanches, poison from the atmosphere, and eventual starvation. All this death and devastation was caused by a hunk of dirty ice no larger than a small farm town in Iowa. So that's the setting of this book. And there's not, because it's a novel, not necessarily, I'm not going to have a whole lot more to read in it. But I don't know. I love reading things. I love a good story. And therefore I like sharing it with you. What I'm writing right now, I'm working, getting caught up on getting in my journal. I'm not even caught up. I am part of the Level Up group where we try to read a book in a month. We read like 10 pages a day. And part of it is because it's summertime and the sun is going down later. My days are getting later. And I have trouble getting in my studying and my journal writing and, you know, Bible study and all that other stuff in the evening. So I have to put a priority on that Level Up book that I'm reading at the time. And my journaling had gone by the wayside, not completely, but enough. And this previous month was a short book. And he hasn't put another book out yet or hasn't sent us another book. Well, no, this is not a previous month, this current month. And I've already finished reading it, so I'm caught up. And it's kind of cool because I'm now getting caught up on some other books that I didn't get to finish in the same process. So I'm getting caught up on my Level Up month, book of the month. And now I'm kind of getting back in the groove of writing in my journal. And there's some other writing and stuff that I want to do too. So this is going to, it'll be nice. I'm looking forward to doing, spending some time with it. I believe I can do it. We'll see. And there's a reason I'm saying it that way. All right. My quote of the day is, For of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest of these it might have been, by John Greenleaf Whittier. Let me say that one again. For of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest of these it might have been. Let me give you a little bit about John Greenleaf Whittier. He lived from 1807 to 1892. He was an American Quaker poet, advocate of the abolition of slavery, and paid his way through school by being a shoemaker and a teacher. And over time, he became editor of several different publications. But his most enduring work was a piece called Snowbound. And I didn't read it. I don't know anything about it. But I love quotes. I have a whole thing of quotes that I love and save. And so I love to go through and pick things out for stuff like this. But I'm also enjoying looking up the authors of these quotes. And I've learned a lot from that. All right. My scripture of the day is Matthew 8, 21 and 22. Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." And there's a reason I've stated that. And of course, I don't know if any of you guys know too much about the Bible, but you know, Jesus is calling for disciples. And this one guy's going, "Hey, let me get my father buried first, and then I can follow you." that's where we go straight into my main subject. This is what's talking about dad's health problems. I need to back up a little bit and give you a little bit of thing. Both of them are 80. My mom and dad both are still alive. They are 81 years old. Mom had her stroke when she was about 65, I believe. She lost her left side. A few years later, dad had a stroke. And he just lost part of his mental capacity, a lot of his mental capacity. He was a very, very smart man at one time, and he's just not anymore. And he's had other health issues. He has a deformed pancreas, so his body can't process fat. And we finally learned that over years. He's had two knee replacements and a hip replacement. He's had some heart issues. He's had at least one heart attack. So in June, he got sick. Well, okay, back up even there from there. A couple months ago, he had one of those heart tests, you know, the stress test, for the radioactive one or whatever it's called. They injected the dye in him, and he did not do well with that. He has struggled and struggled and struggled since that test, and finally ended up getting so sick that in June he was put in the hospital. He had swelled up so bad his legs were busting open and oozing and stuff, and so they took him to the hospital, found out that he had congestive heart failure, and they took off 30 or 40 pounds, I can't remember which, of fluid off of him, and he's feeling better. But I don't know, they told him to watch his fluid, and I he did, and he basically cut out enough fluid that he got dehydrated last week and fell, busted his head, gave himself a concussion because it knocked him out, busted his head where he's bleeding. Of course, he's on blood thinners, and he was bleeding all over the kitchen floor, busted the tile. Mom couldn't figure out how to dial 911. So she was calling my brother, and I don't know. They called me and asked me to come out to help for a little while and see if I can help take care of mom and dad, maybe even help mom and dad move in they need to move out of where they are. They live in a trailer house that they bought that has steps going up to it. Mom can't climb steps very good. Dad can't climb steps very good. Since that day that he fell and busted his head, they did take him to the hospital, and they came home. He still had to monitor his fluid intake, but he's having to monitor his salt intake. And he's falling like three times a day. And so I'm going to go out there and maybe help assess the situation, maybe help coax mom and dad into doing something different instead of living by themselves. They needed to be in some sort of assisted living for a very long time anyway, but they are very independent, very stubborn people. And it's going to be a fun trip. It won't be too bad. It'll be nice to be able to connect with my parents again, I guess, you know, but I just, Dad is sick. He's not doing well, and Mom can't take care of him because she has lost her right sight and she's lost parts of her cognitive ability too, obviously, when you can't figure out how to call 911. So I'm going to go out there for a couple weeks and help as much as I can. And where they're going for a couple, well, the temporary moving into a place that's really nice, and it's going to be a place where I can stay with them too, and it's going to be pretty good. And the location is going to be nice, but I'm hoping that I can talk Mom and Dad into moving out of their house. And I know they've got a lot of stuff. They've had a lot of stuff. When I moved them from Southern Oklahoma to Florida 5 or 6 years ago, they had a lot of stuff, and we left a lot behind, but they still have a lot of stuff, 60 plus years of accumulation. And, I think I'll be okay with that kind of work too, just to keep me busy. But I'm hoping that we can talk them into actually thinking about what they need to do. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to see if I can go out and help Mom and Dad for a couple of weeks. It's going to have a lot of ups and downs. And as you can tell, I'm kind of struggling today. Anyway, understanding what I'm going to be walking into, especially, and then with the morning I had with Oscar, taking him to be processed, there was a lot more to that story, but I don't want to get into it, but there's a lot going on. And so I'm trying to get ready to go to Florida so I can help take care of Mom and Dad and trying to make things easier for my family here. My story of the day, to give you an indication of what kind of parents I have. My mother is very independent. She's going to do what she wants to do, deal with it. I don't care how you feel about it. This is the way it is. Dad is kind of the same way, but he also is, this is the way I'm doing it. I've always done it. I don't care what the doctor says. I can do it. I can take care of myself. I don't need anything. I'm here to take care of your mother, and she needs me, and this is what I'm going to do. They're very stubborn, very, very focused on doing exactly what it is that they want to do. And when Tom and I first started dating, anybody who ever meets my parents, the first thing they say to me afterwards, they go, oh my goodness, now I understand why you are the way you are. And yeah, and I'm only half joking when I say this, but I always tell people, yeah, I inherited all of my parents' bad traits and half of their good ones. And I really inherited a lot of my mother's attributes, which is not good for either one of us. Relationship wise. Yeah, it's gonna be a fun trip, but I will do my best. I'm praying constantly. I'm always asking. I'm growing up a little bit, and I'm getting better with patience. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. So my story of the day is when Dad had his first knee replacement surgery. First of all, because Mom had already had her stroke, his focus always is taking care of Mother, and he didn't want his he didn't want his knee replaced, but he had to have it. So what he did is he had a recumbent bike. I don't know if he still had it or not, but he had a recumbent bike, and he set it on the tightest setting possible, and he forced his thighs to push and struggle and do with the way he wanted to be strong as possible, so that when he went in and did the knee replacement surgery, that he would be able to do what he wanted to do. So they replaced his knee. Of course, as you know, it is, they always get you up and walk around. They ask him if he'd get up, and he goes, yeah, I can get up. And he walked around. And then when it was time to go sit down, they said, well, can you sit down and edge your bed? Okay. And he looked at them. He held his arms out in front of him, and he just sat down. He goes, yeah, you betcha I can do it. And he did. He sat on the bed, didn't need hands, didn't need anything. He was going to prove that he was strong. He was going to prove that he was tough, and he didn't need anybody to help him do anything. So that's my story of the day, and that might give me kind of an indication of what I'm going to be walking into out here. So my question of the day is, what are some detours that you've had to make in your life due to family challenges? I'd really like to hear some of your stories. I think some of you who are listening to me are kind of near my age and have or have had parents that are at the age where they need a little more help and don't want it, or I don't know. Some need help anyway, and maybe some of them may even want it too much. I don't know. Regardless, I'd love to have your stories on what it is that what are some of the detours that you've had to make in your life due to family challenges, and sometimes it's just from having children and stuff too when you're young. All right, my income producing activity of the day is the fold card. That is that prepaid debit card. I like it. I really do. When you use a debit card, it helps you what they call stack Satoshis. This is a debit card that when you use it, helps you collect many pieces of Bitcoin. And some of you are against Bitcoin. And I guess I can understand it to an extent. But if you really think about it, think about how things are going. And as a general rule, you know, we don't write checks anymore, so to speak. So a lot of things are already digital currency anyway. Things are done digitally. You might as well earn something along the way, like Bitcoin, that didn't even cost you extra. Bitcoin has had its ups and downs. Right now, it's doing pretty good. It's actually making a pretty good comeback. Even if it acts like the stock market, why would you be willing to invest in the stock market, but you're not willing to invest in Bitcoin? And another reason I like the idea of investing in Bitcoin too is if we go into a digital currency thing and they start doing social capital type thing, or making determining whether you, what if they don't like what you say? What if they don't like what you do? What if you didn't get vaccinated? What if you didn't do one thing or another? They can say, oh, well, we don't like how many bottles of wine you had. You don't get paid. We don't like what you said about the mask. You don't get paid and stuff. And at this point in time, and I'm told repeatedly that it never will be, that they can monitor or do anything about our Bitcoin, any Bitcoin that you have, that is something that they can't interfere with. And I'd rather have something that I can't have taken away from me that has a possibility of being taken away from me. So that's what I'm trying to invest in. And I encourage you to do the same thing too. So like I said, this is a prepaid debit card. Didn't cost you anything extra to get this debit card and pay for your groceries. They can set up where you pay your bills with it. And every time you use the funds, you get extra Satoshis, and they have ways where you can earn extra Satoshis too. So go through the link below and click on that. And I will get a commission on it if you do. And it doesn't cost you anything extra either. Where I can be found. My website is grandmashomestead.farm. I try really hard regularly, like once a week, to write a blog post that gives you an update on what's happening on the farm. And I also have recipes. I got a mess of recipes. I collect them. And so every once in a while, I try to put a recipe up that you can use experiment with. I like to experiment with food. So grandmashomestead.farm, and there's some other things I want to do within the future, but that's what I've got right now. I can also be seen on my main YouTube channel, Grandma's Homestead, and I have a Farm Animal Life YouTube channel. I can be seen on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, MeWe, Twitter, Rumble, for some variation of Thesia Ellis or Thesia E. Something along that line. I would ask if you would write a review for me, preferably a 5-star review, but whatever review you feel like writing, I would appreciate it. And that's all I got for today. I've got to get back to work and get ready to go. But I pray that things are going well for you, and maybe that you're getting a break from the heat too. God bless, guys. I'll see you next time.